Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi.
Hello.
Getting a lot of glare off my glasses, but
it's okay. I have blood on my forehead and my neck, so you know.
You look like you've had a rough day.
I fought some zombies. I'm actually gonna run and shut the door. Sorry. Goodbye. You guys are gonna have to wait outside.
Hello, bye guys.
Tallahassee. Girls. Sorry. Girl guys. Okay, Tallahassee's not gonna be okay with that. Okay, it's just girls in the room.
All the girls.
There's some girls in this house. There's some girls in this house.
Hey, we're both wearing black and white.
I know. Well, this is what I had to do Andrea's death scene, so she wears black and white. And
oh, okay.
I was mainly wearing this lovely hunter green for a while.
Very nice. Okay, let me see if I can share my screen, because I got something for you for our podversary.
I didn't get anything for you.
You don't have to. It's for both of us.
Okay.
So I made it for you and then made it about myself. So.
Oh, that's fine.
Let's see if I can do this.
By the way, I had to go grocery shopping like this.
Oh, I love it.
We need a Drano.
I should. Okay. I should have tested this first. I'm going to test something first just to make sure you can hear it.
Okay.
So whatever the first thing that pops up here on the YouTube,
Guardians of the Galaxy. That's completely fine. Ooh, awesome mix one and two.
Oh, where's that?
That's what that is.
Oh, that's what
it's the whole thing.
Oh, you can hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so
I can see you on here. That's good. That's what I wanted. Maybe I should I do both of us? There we go. We're both there. Okay. So. For our podversary / pod birthday, whatever we're calling it, I got you a Kimbo! I got you / us a Richard Speight Jr. cameo.
What?
I was going to do it for our podversary. I wanted to do this earlier, but he didn't record it until like the last day it was due. And I was so afraid he wasn't going to do it. And I was like, oh, that really stinks, but I'll just try it again for like your birthday or something. But he came through, so I just wanted to play this for you and get your reaction for it.
He looks like Bobby.
He does, doesn't he? He's very quarantine mode right now. So, and I'll send this to you too, so you can download it and have it forever. But I just want to play it for you. Is that cool?
Yes.
Okay. Ready?
Well, hello, Lizzie. Richard Speight here. Supernatural actor, occasional director. Hope you're doing well. I understand you have a podcast and you have one that you co-host with Missy. Well, Missy's the one who brought this cameo to fruition. So, listen, I wish you the absolute best. I think it's your one-year anniversary of your podcast. Congratulations. That's fantastic. Proud of you. Proud of both of you for taking on that endeavor and for doing well with it and enjoying it and having fun and enjoying it and being focused on it enough to pull off a full year of doing it. That's outstanding. So congratulations to you. I know that Missy thinks you're an amazing person. She thinks you're a fabulous person to be in business with and a wonderful co-host. She's lucky to be a co-host alongside you. And you guys have a lot of support for each other, and that's awesome. Special, rare to work with each other and have that kind of creative bond, and also business acumen to put that bond into use in a grander sense and to still get along during the process. That's a lot. So kudos, you two. I understand you love the trickster. Well, I like the cut of your jib, woman. Good choice. You all take care, be well, stay safe, wear a mask. Stay 6 feet away from everybody. Wash those hands. And remember, you rock.
Yay! So what do you think?
That was only like slightly embarrassing, but also the most amazing thing I've ever seen. That was so good.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I don't even care if it was just like he saw an email and obviously took the money and stuff. But he said our name, so he knows us.
He knows we have a podcast.
Yes.
I, t- told him the name of it, so I don't know. Maybe he listens now.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm glad you were so excited.
I'm so excited. Oh, my God. But he definitely looked like Bobby.
I know.
He had the beard and the plaid and the trucker hat.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome. Now I got to figure out how to edit that. I've never done art or video before, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Now, how do we get into the episode now? I don't know. I don't even know how to do this.
I don't even know how, there's no segues that can go into this.
You should see me what I watched. I got the I got the text message literally at like 11:30 at night, and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, did you really do it? Like.
Be like, I know I applied and I did the thing, but he did the thing. Did he really do the thing?
He did the thing. I know you can't tell because there's glare, but I put makeup on for this.
Me too.
Yeah.
There's actually like normal makeup underneath.
Under the blood.
The blood. And then I don't know if you could see, I have a really nice bruise going over here.
Yeah. I didn't have my glasses on and I was like, I can't see, so I need to put them on.
I put my contacts in for this, but I did all the makeup myself.
I like it. That's a good bruise.
Thanks. I'm really impressed with it. Nicole helped me a little bit with some of the coloration, but she made me do it all.
She's like, you're going to learn how to do
this. You're going
to
learn today, son. Speaking of, did you know Dean had a son? There's our Sagu.
Oh, yes. Well, even though it's denied, I still think it's Dean's son.
I really kind of want it to be Dean's son, and there was like a small part of me that was hoping that Lisa was just trying to like quote be nice.
Yeah.
Knowing what Dean does and knowing what he has dealt with to not like quote put it on his plate.
Yeah. I mean, if people can believe in Destiel, then I can believe that Ben is Dean's son.
I feel like Ben and
sorry.
Ben is Dean's son is more believable than Destiel, to be honest.
I had it, people weren't gonna like it, but I had to.
Although I have to say that after watching that video, Samriel seems like a legit thing. Whoever edited that did it very well, and it was a very touching video. So
Samriel, oh my Lord, I can't with any of the
not one for them slashes, but
I'm not a what do they call it? A shipper.
Shippers.
I don't ship people.
I mean, like I ship said, people, but I don't like ship Dean and Castiel. I don't ship Sam and Gabriel.
Or Sam and Dean.
That's just weird.
I just said it's a thing in some places, like Twitter.
But like, I still ship Dean.
I ship Dean and myself, so I mean, if that's where we're going with this.
I ship Dean as Ben's daddy.
Yes. Yes, I like that one. Did you see the finale yet?
Mm-mm.
Ah, oh, okay.
Mm-mm. I'm the worst person. I'm the worst person.
I mean, I can't talk. I keep hitting my microphone. I can't talk about it on here yet anyway. But I'm dying to talk to you about it.
I'm the worst person. My thought, like, I'm half of the thought of, like, if I don't watch it, it's not over.
I can't believe, have you gone on any, like on Twitter or anything?
I have not.
That's good. Don't, because they will ruin it for you.
I've been quite busy with this very sweet pup and five dogs and
yeah,
work.
Well, good.
And things.
Don't
do it.
Don't do it.
The spoilers are.
Oh my God. The second after it happened.
They don't even, like, I feel like it's fine as long as you, and this is a word to the wise to anybody that's doing any of that stuff. It's cool. But, like, warnings first. Like,
oh, yeah.
Asterisk, asterisk, spoiler, asterisk, yeah. Asterisk. And then give, like, two enters before you decide to blow the world up for other people who haven't seen it.
Yeah, or, like, your first tweet is spoiler and then you attach a tweet to it.
Yeah.
It spoils it. Yeah, I know.
I also, the way my life is, I'm drinking tea right now, but it's tea from 11 o'clock, so it's nice and chilly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But waste not, want not.
Exactly.
But yeah, okay, so a couple housekeeping things. We turned one.
Yay!
That was a thing. Richard Spade Jr. said my name. That's another thing.
He knows we have a podcast. That's another thing.
We have 266... Spotify followers?
Spotify, just on Spotify.
Obviously, continue to share us. Find us on Facebook.
Oh, I'm sorry. 266 was yesterday's number.
Oh, my bad. I'm a day behind.
273.
273.
Yes.
Do you think we can get 300 by December?
I think so. I think we can do it if everybody spreads the word.
Do you think that's a good challenge to set to all our awesome followers?
Yes, I do.
All right, guys, this is on you. If you like us and you think we're good, because obviously we think we're good. I mean, come on. We're pretty much like the female Sam and Dean, let's be honest.
It's true.
Then continue to share us. Send us into like friends. I know some people have like Facebook groups where they're trying to find new podcasts now with everybody kind of quarantined. They're all doing new things.
Oh.
Obviously, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And obviously, if there's anything you guys want to hear, see, or have us do, by all means, please send us a DM, an email, or just make a comment. Tweet at us.
I do. They're on Instagram today, I posted our new episode, and I used Blonde Ruby there in her French fries.
Oh, yep.
Blonde Ruby and her French fries. And we got a comment from Noelle Belly.
Who are Noelle Belly?
Hi, Noelle Belly. She said, this podcast is the best.
Oh, Noelle Belly, you're the best.
Yes, Noelle Belly is the best. I thanked her. And we like Noelle Belly, everyone. Just love us.
Wow, we're in season three.
Season three, episode two.
Yes, we are. Okay, so if you are just tuning in and you didn't already listen to our latest episode, which is season three, episode one, The Magnificent Seven, then you should go listen to that to find out what's kind of happening in this season and what happened in the last season. Because this time we are actually talking about season three, episode two, The Kids Are All Right, which aired October 11th, 2007, and is set in Cicero, Indiana.
Cicero.
That just makes me think of Chicago. The Cell Block Tango. Pop, six, squish. Cicero.
Oh. Okay.
I guess she and her sister were doing a show in Cicero, at the Hotel Cicero, that's it, the Hotel Cicero, and then she went to go get some ice, and then she came back, and her husband and her sister were doing number seven, or number nine, the Spread Eagle. Yeah, and I don't think that's just a code word.
Okie dokie. Well then, let's get right into the plot then.
This has literally nothing to do with Chicago.
Nothing.
Nothing. But that's when I saw that it was taking place in Cicero. I was like, ooh, Cicero. Lipschitz. But yes, please give me. I'm sorry. I'm a mess. Everyone's going to stop listening to us because I'm a horrible human being. A husk of a human.
Husk.
Husk. But I'm not a changeling.
Are you corn?
I might be.
I mean, thanks.
I'm corny. Let's be honest. Oh, I got a really funny story to tell you that you can cut out later after this.
Okay. Let's get into the plot then.
Yes, give me a good plot for The Kids Are All Right.
Dean reads about a death in Cicero, Indiana, where a man was pushed onto a power saw. The town reminds him of Lisa Braden, a woman he knew 8 years prior and whom he wants to see again before he dies. He doesn't really, he just wants to get it on.
He knows, bunny ears, he knows.
Yeah.
I think in the biblical sense, let's be honest. Oh, go on.
Yeah.
I don't think there's just a woman Dean knows.
It's the best night of their lives.
Do you think he tells every woman that? I feel like he tells every woman that.
I don't know, but that's what her friends told each other whenever they were chit-chatting in the yard.
That's true.
Yeah.
Pick a little, talk a little.
Later arriving in Cicero, Dean drops Sam off at a motel. He doesn't drop Bobby. He kicks him out of the car. He
totally kicks him out of the car.
That's
such a brother thing to do. Like, hey, I gotta go. You know, I'm gonna inspect. You know, I'm just gonna go see a girl. I need you to get out. But Dean, we need to. No, I just need you to get out.
He's lucky he stopped because
I think he was gonna make Sam tuck and roll. To be honest,
That's what I thought was going to happen.
But I think he saw probably a security camera. I was like, that's going to look shady. And they're going to see my license plate. And it's too early to be changing that again.
They're going to come after me. They got kidnapped him.
Yes. Especially when they're supposed to be dead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So he drops Sammy off in a motel and drives to Lisa's house. He arrives during her son Ben's 8th birthday party, leading Dean to suspect that he is Ben's father. Lisa denies this and tells Dean about the saw accident. Meanwhile, Ruby visits Sam at the diner. She surprises him with her knowledge of his psychic abilities and informs him that something happened to all his mother's friends. She also tells him that there is a supernatural occurrence in town. Moments later, Dean calls Sam and reveals that 4 other quote-unquote accidents occurred in Lisa's neighborhood. As Dean helps Ben deal with bullies, Sam investigates one of the accidents. A man fell off a ladder and notices the child is behaving oddly. A mark on the mother's neck also catches Sam's attention. Later, Sam researches changelings. He suspects that the creatures have replaced the local children, killed the fathers, and are feeding on the mothers. Why'd the dad have to die? I mean, I don't want anybody to die, but like...
Yeah, that is strange.
They could only feed on moms, and we'll get into that. The brothers discover the mother changeling is using a vacant house as her base. Inside, they find the recently replaced Ben and other children and the local realtor in cages. The mother changeling, in the form of the realtor, attacks them. Sam retaliates with a flame thrower, and all the changelings explode in flames upon her death. The real children are returned, and Dean explains everything to Lisa. Dean reluctantly turns down an offer to stay, telling her that this is not his life. Elsewhere, Sam confirms to Ruby that all of his mother's friends were killed. She reveals herself as a demon, but claims that she wants to help him. Da-da-da.
I'm surprised. Do you think Sam had an inkling that Ruby might have been, I don't know, a demon before this?
I hope he did, because if he didn't, I would think he was being dumb.
Yeah, I mean, she did kind of just show up when the 7 deadly sins were there and just, like, peace out after killing one.
Yeah, with her little... knife.
Demon killing knife.
Yeah. How did you get a demon killing knife?
Look at this magical hunter who just poofs.
How do you know that? And we don't know that.
How do we know you as a hunter? How did you find us here? How come Bobby doesn't know you? Does Bobby know you're in his house? No, just random people showing up.
Hey guys, it's a party.
Oh man. Well, it's not just the fact that she says that it's Ben's 8th birthday that kind of made Dean suspicious. There was only, like, everything Ben did.
Everything he did.
I do feel like it was a little over the top similar they were.
Even down to the way he dressed and ate and his mannerisms.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've seen fathers and sons. I mean, obviously, I have a younger brother. And, I mean, my brother didn't really emulate my dad all the time. But they have some similarities. But that one was just, like, they wanted you to think that was Dean's son.
Yeah. Yeah, but also your brother was around your dad so he could emulate what he was doing. Those, like, a learned thing. Like, Ben wasn't around Dean to learn those things.
And that's the other weird thing. Because, like you said, it's nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. Do you really think that, like, a taste in music or cars...
Right, yeah.
...is something that just is, like, in the genetics...
His cake was pretty sweet, though.
His cake was really sweet. I mean, it was better than some of my birthday cakes as a kid. That's for sure.
Yeah, for real.
But those kids were creepy, especially when the Ben.
Yeah.
The Benling. The Benling was.
The Benling.
The Benling was like, but mommy, come here.
Yeah, she's like, tell him to leave. I think the little girl, though, was the creepiest. Like, the little girl at the beginning who came home from her dad's house, like, and her dad bit it on the saw, which, by the way, sir, if the saw randomly turns on, we're not going to go over to it and put our face right next to it. I'll be like, I wonder why it's not shutting off. And then when you shut it off and it turns on again, we run away. We do not go back and check on it because that is how we die.
No, that's rule number one. Unplug it.
Yeah. Don't stand
in front of it. Rule number one, when you have a saw like that, plug it as far away from the saw as it can possibly reach. So you don't even have to get close to the saw. Safety 101. So that way, when you want to turn that shit off, you don't hit a button. You unplug it halfway across the room.
Or you go to your breaker box and you shut that shit off.
Shut everything off. Like, I'd rather be without power. And if that shit turns on, my ass is out of the house.
Then you're gone. Yeah.
How to survive a possessed saw with Missy and Lizzie 101.
You guys are learning stuff from us, okay?
Yeah, we keep you safe. And if you want to be extra safe, attach that sucker to an extension cord.
Multiple extension cords.
Run it to the living room.
Your neighbor's house.
Lock doors on your way.
If the saw starts chasing you, then...
Like the ladder I get. The ladder is something I could totally look inconspicuous.
Yeah.
Because people fall off ladders all the time. I mean, not all the time. I mean, enough to be an accident that is like a legitimate accident.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't just fall on your saw.
You don't go head first. You don't like swan dive into a table saw. That's not a normal accident. That's just poor planning.
Oh, that guy.
Or a changeling, obviously. I did find this a little bit... kind of invasion of the body snatchers.
Okay.
Ish. I don't know if you've ever watched a really horrible movie, sci-fi thriller called The Faculty.
Yes.
which was also based off of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but this kind of reminded me of that, where like there was this like queen of the hive, and she was just kind of like dispersing these creatures.
Wasn't there an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark like that?
Yes. Yes, there was.
Yeah.
It's quality. And I found it so weird that they were, like, feeding off of the mom.
Yeah. I'm, like, creeped out now. If I ever have a mark on my neck. I'm, like, looking in the mirror.
It has to. It has to be, like, a flea. And that, like, once a flea attaches, it, like, no, not a flea, a tick.
Tick, yeah.
It's like a tick. So it like disperses that saliva that almost works like a numbing agent.
Yeah.
So you don't even know it's there. But like at some point, wouldn't the mom be like, hey, my kid's been hugging me for like 20 minutes now. This is a little strange.
When your kid is never.
But they were, I know that they were also feeding on them while they were sleeping.
Yeah. But that little girl who just kept banging on the bathroom door.
Oh, and that mom, like, man.
Oh my God. I thought
that she knew that wasn't her daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Lisa was like, when the mom tells her that, she's like, she's not my kid. She's like, oh, you're just grieving. You're fine. Thanks, Lisa, for not listening to your friend.
And I like the fact that she doesn't really. Also, Lisa, like, what were you doing 8 years ago?
Apparently a lot.
Like, who's a hoe? Hoe! Because she obviously was with Dean and then, like, was real quick to be with somebody else. I mean, granted, there's, like, a slight year difference.
Well,
but not even.
How do we know that that wasn't just a story, though? You know? Because she's like, oh, it was some bar back. Like, first of all, that's not happening.
Like, I'm sorry, I was just grieving so much over my most amazing night with Dean that I went drinking and ended up sleeping with the bar back.
Yeah,
not even the bartender.
Pregnant. Yeah, no.
The bar back.
The guy that puts the beer in the cooler. Yeah, that's that. Which, you know, if that's your thing, okay. But how do you even get the bar back?
He can lift those three cases of Coors Light. That's my man.
Totally lift me up.
Meanwhile, Dean's like flexing his hunter muscles.
He's like, did you see my car? Did you see the car?
Is that is that a 6-inch knife? Or are you just happy to see me there? Ooh, it's serrated.
Oh, God. Oh,
I mean, obviously, she wasn't caring at that time. She probably met Dean in a bar.
Oh, yeah. Most
hands
definitely.
Down.
Yeah.
Dean shoving his face with a burger and a beer. She probably looked across the bar and he just like looked up from the burger, gave him like that stupid smile, and she's like, I'm going home with you tonight.
That's a man's man.
Mm-hmm.
I need a piece of that.
Do you think they got it on in the back of the Impala?
Probably.
Hmm. No, would he have had the Impala? Because the Impala came from Dad and the Impala was Dad's car. Because when do we know when Dean got the Impala?
No. Because if when Dad went on his hunting trip, why didn't he take the Impala?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or was it like a gift on Dean's 16th birthday?
I don't know. Write some fan fiction about that.
Now I'm curious. Also, this is a question to all of the listeners right now who are going to listen to this. What do you think Dean's first car was? I think a Firebird. I think he had a shitty Firebird.
What if it was a motorcycle? Do you think they could just go to Bobby's auto salvage and pick out whatever they wanted and work on it?
I think so.
That would be cool.
I definitely think so. But yeah, I'm curious to think of what Dean's first actual car was. All right. So, speaking of cars, apparently, naturally, the Impala might not have been the first choice because it was not in Kripke's original first draft. It actually, and this is what I think might have actually been Dean's technical first car. However, I still feel like he's had a shitty Firebird. It was a 65 Mustang.
It wasn't the Mustang too small?
The Mustang actually was the Mustang got kicked to the back seat, pun intended, because Kripke's neighbor actually said it has to be a 67 Impala because you can put a body in the trunk.
Yep.
So maybe somewhere Dean started with a 65 Mustang.
Okay. I'll go with it.
But I'm still curious as to what other people think his first car might have been.
Let us know, folks.
Please do, because I'm very curious.
Speaking of cars, the lady with the crazy daughter tries to drown her in the river.
Oh my gosh.
She just rolls it.
That was insane.
So calm. And then she saw the lights and everything on, the headlights and shit.
She was pulling a Susan Smith.
Yeah. And just...
She was straight up pulling a Susan Smith.
Yeah. But then, the girl's in the kitchen again. She just wants to eat.
Oh my god. And that was the other thing. They have that insatiable appetite. Like, they have to keep eating.
Oh, did you see their teeth? Oh, things with that many teeth. Or, like, things with a lot of legs. I can't.
Part of me thinks that, like, the writers of Supernatural and, like, the artistic directors just have this thing with teeth.
Yeah.
Like, if it's an unknown monster that they want to, like, design, it has to have rows and rows of sharp pointy teeth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the vampires
like sharks. They look like sharks.
A ton of teeth. Like, ugh.
Like, straight up sharks.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Well, that's like, oh my gosh. Later on, the Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
Sharp, like, rows and rows of sharp pointy teeth.
That season. I can't.
I dread to get to that season, but we're gonna get through it for everybody.
Can we do that season in one episode?
Please. Oh my gosh.
You just skip it. What else happened?
That was the only things that really stood out to me. I love when they do like the little neighborhood stuff. Obviously this one with the kids. Obviously when the plague happens.
Mm-hmm.
Hits that with all the bugs.
I hate that episode. Stop eating
that. That episode was disgusting.
Ugh. Oh, and then doesn't Ruby at the end tell Sam that she can help him save Dean?
Yes. Well, that's half of what it is because she's a demon.
Right. Don't believe her, Samuel. Come on. Do you really think she's going to help you?
Also, like, you were just told, basically, you break this and you die.
Yeah.
This is, like, the worst. This is just, like, this season kickstarts them on, like, the worst cycle ever. Where, like, Dean is prepared to die for Sam. And Sam is totally prepared to give his life for his brother.
Yeah.
And this is all because Dad, it wasn't around to be like, you both are stupid. Don't fucking die.
Well, why is that? Because Dad sacrificed himself to bring Dean back. So it's the whole family. That's, I can't talk about it now, but it happens before two. Like when when married.
Oof. Yeah.
It's the whole family.
Yeah. And in this, like, she doesn't even tell him why. All she goes is, hey, I'm different than all the other demons. Okay. And I'm going to help you totally save your brother.
I like that you say it that way. Like, I'm going to, like, totally help you.
But, like, you got to help me to help you. So, like, I need you to help fight with me.
Yeah.
To fight other demons. Because, obviously, I can't kill all the demons myself because I'm different than demons.
I'm a good demon.
And then she doesn't even tell him why anything. Doesn't tell him any motive. Doesn't tell him anything else. And Sam's just like, I mean, you sound different. I don't fully trust you, but let's do it.
Yeah. We'll try it. I got nothing else going on.
She seems legit. Sure, why not? So do we have any random shit for this episode?
We do. What is that? What just
happened?
That
was my brother's ringtone. That was my brother's ringtone.
I thought I clicked a thing on the internet tab. Pulled up. And
you're
like,
all about clicking the thing.
I was like, what is playing right now? Did I do that?
Oh, yeah, no, that's just my, that was just my brother calling me.
Oh, okay. I do have random shit with Missy.
Tell us your random shit.
I will. This episode also has the plot element. This episode also
rewind.
Oh my god. I have to say that the last episode we recorded was very easy to edit because we didn't screw up.
So, oh, thank god.
Go us. And it ended up being like 40
Yay,
minutes.
High five.
So that's amazing.
Wow. That's gotta be a nice little treat after like the long ass monster mash we had.
So this episode also has plot elements similar to the movie Case 39, including the scene of the car being driven into the lake and the mother hiding in the bathroom. I have never seen this movie, so I cannot tell you if that's accurate, but Katie's mom dumping her car in the lake with their daughter locked inside could be parallel or reference to the Susan Smith case. On October 25th, 1994, Smith reported to police that her vehicle had been carjacked by a black man who drove away with her son still inside. The composite sketch of the alleged carjacker, however, was too generic in the sense that it described half of the African-American men who were living in the community. For 9 days, she made dramatic pleas on national television for the boy's safe return. However, following an intensive investigation, in a nationwide search for her children, she confessed on November 3rd, 1994, to letting her car roll into nearby John D. Long Lake, drowning them inside. Her motivation was reportedly to facilitate a relationship with a local wealthy man by the name of Tom Findlay. Prior to the murders, he sent Susan a letter ending their relationship and expressing that he did not want children. She said that there was no motive, nor did she explain them. Wait, she said there was no motive, nor did she plan the murders, stating that she was not in a right state of mind.
Ooh, that just makes me think of La Llorona.
Yeah, I was thinking that as I was reading it. I kind of stumbled because I was like, wait, La Llorona.
With the exception of, like, her not dying.
Yeah. That's still, ugh.
Like, killing for the wealthy man.
Yeah.
And a new relationship. And
all for the dude. Don't do it for the dude.
Mm,
but don't do it
don't
at all.
Don't do it, no.
Don't do it at all.
Like, don't just don't drive your children into a body of water. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's not good. Wait, where was their dad? Okay. So many questions. Sam states that changelings feed on synovial fluid from the mother and that they always feed on the back of the neck. Synovial fluid is a type of fluid found only in the spaces between joints, and it acts as a form of shock absorption. It helps lubricate and also helps remove waste from the joint space. All humans have synovial fluid.
So is that like...
Go ahead.
Is that like joint marrow?
Maybe.
And not like bone marrow?
Yeah. It would be like your cushion. Your joint cushion. All humans have synovial fluid, not just women, and there's very little in the cervical vertebrae. The majority of synovial fluid is found in larger joints, such as the elbows and knees, so there might be other reasons as to why these creatures only feed on the mothers and only on the back of the neck. So what they're saying is that's not a good place to get your synovial fluid fix.
Does it say where a good place to get your synovial fluid fixes?
Yeah, they say
suck on the kneecap.
Yeah, larger joints such as elbows and knees.
Oh, can you imagine? Oh, God, can you imagine, like, you wake up and your kid is just, like, on your kneecap, like, a tick? You know what? I get why Supernatural chose the neck.
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, that would be so creepy. Ew, get off my knee, you freak. It was, like, your toe.
Look at this weird, I guess also because, like, I mean, I guess you could do it on the elbow. You can't really notice a mark on your elbow, but, like, you start being like, what are these weird marks on my kneecap?
What is that? That's a big tick. That tick looks like Timmy.
It is literally the size of the man, the tick.
Yeah. So And you just like tap it on the head and you're like, what you doing?
Okay.
Sorry. Let's move on. The Cicero Pines Motel location has been used many times throughout the show's seasons. The same motel was used in season 1, episode 17, season 2, episode 3, as well as later in season 12, episode 8. It has many different names in the different episodes, which I would hope, because I don't think they would just go back to the Cicero Pines Motel.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you can use, like, the Pines Motel, but when you use a city name or a town name, you're kind of pigeonholing yourself.
Right. It had a major remodel on the exterior for its appearance in season 12. The giveaway is the pyramid shapes over the front doors or the wind beams protruding from the overhead. Those were covered, though, in the remodel. So I guess in season 12, you can't tell that it's the Cicero Pines Motel. The reflections of the changelings in the story appear to be heavily inspired by a creature from Star Trek, the original series, episode called The Mantrap, which was season 1, episode 1. Oh, so the very first Star Trek.
Yes.
The big difference is that the creatures in Star Trek fed on salt, whereas the changelings in this episode fed on other bodily fluids, which is just gross to say, bodily fluids.
Which is weird, because Star Trek also had... which episode did you say that was?
Season 1, episode 1.
Okay, yeah, because Star Trek actually had an episode called The Changeling.
Oh, really?
Which was season 2, episode 3.
Oh, well, that's
so cool. Living in that world.
At the start of the episode, when Dean leaves Sam to first visit Lisa, or as we said, throw him out of the car.
Literally throw him out of the car.
Bye-bye. There is a flyover shot of the neighborhood, of Lisa's neighborhood, and clearly visible are Canada Post mailboxes, clearly which you would not have in Indiana, which is in the United States, in case you didn't know. Lisa says that a blood test showed that Dean is not Ben's father. I think she's lying.
Okay, but also, like, here's my question with that, too. What was she comparing it to?
Yes. That is this question also. this could have
worked. I mean, unless it matched the guy, the barback, like, yeah. Verbatim.
Yeah.
But, like, if she was comparing it to Dean...
How did she do that?
Yeah, like, but is she just carrying around a vial of his blood? She also, while he was unconscious, just like, gonna need this for later.
She ripped his hair out.
Just one hair.
Like Sam's poor head from the last episode.
Oh, God. Just takes little snips while they're sleeping and just keeps like a lock.
In a jar. She's making a hair doll. What was that movie where the guy made the hair dolls?
Oh, my God, I forget. But that just made me think of Crimson Peak. When she kills people, she takes a lock of their hair and then rolls it and keeps it in a box.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So this could have
hopefully Lisa's not that weird.
Well, you never know.
That's true.
People have their demons.
Lady in the street, but a freak in the sheet.
And then I keep your hair in a box. So this could have more than one meaning. A DNA test requires genetic material, such as fresh hair, from the possible father. Lisa may not have had access to Dean's genetic material, but if she obtained DNA from another man who was in fact Ben's father, she could eliminate Dean. Alternatively, if Lisa knew Dean's blood type and her own, she could compare them to Ben's blood type to determine if Dean was a candidate to be Ben's father. Though it could not conclusively prove paternity, such a test could eliminate someone with a blood type unrelated to Ben's. But I still think that Dean is his dad because I said so.
Yeah. I also agree. I think Dean is his dad.
I feel like that's a general consensus among the family.
Like, we know that you have told us no.
But
we're pretty sure it's a yes.
We're not going to listen. So there you go. That's the last tiddly bit I had.
That's the last of your tiddly bits?
Last of my tiddly bits. Short tiddly bits.
I came out wrong, but like... All right. Well, that's good, because I actually have a decent amount this time-ish.
I will sit back and listen.
All right. So I'm going to read my sources. I used Britannica, Irish Post, mythologywikia.com, ancientorigins.net, and irishcentral.net.
There you go again, making me look bad.
That's 90% because Changelings are predominantly Irish idea. They're more of the Celtic, and they are completely different than this.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is one of the few ones in Supernatural where they like kind of took the idea of what it is, I guess, like on the base, and completely changed it for Supernatural, which is where they use their creative liberties. Because according to Merriam-Webster, on the base, the definition of a changeling is a child secretly exchanged for another in infancy. According to the dictionary, it is a child surreptitiously or unintentionally substituted for another.
You just trade it in?
Yep, you just switch them.
Oh, okay.
However, in folklore, a changeling is an ugly, stupid, or strange child left by fairies in place of a pretty, charming child.
What? Poor kid.
In folklore, it is a ugly, stupid, or strange child that takes the place of a pretty or charming child.
Aren't we all a little strange?
Now, according to Medieval Chronicles by Ralph of Coggeshall, who was an English historian, fairies tended to prey upon unbaptized children.
Oh, no.
So you could save your child from being turned into a changeling or swapped out by baptizing them.
Okay.
And children are taken for mainly three reasons. One, to act as a servant for the fairies.
Oh, well, that's rude.
Two, for fairies to receive the love of a human child, meaning that the fairy child would be raised with love of a human family, and the human child would learn to love the fairies so that the fairies that took it and switched it with their own child would feel the love of a human child.
But you're gonna make the kid your servant, so that's not the right way to get the love, fairy people.
Or three, strictly out of malice or revenge.
Okay, they were just pissed. And so they were like,
Peter did us wrong back in the woods the other day. We see that his wife had a gorgeous child, so fuck it, we're gonna give them our kid.
Taking it. It's mine now.
They also believed that blonde-haired children were more likely to get switched.
I'm saved.
And I'm they're saved. Actually...
I wasn't.
Just kidding, I'm a changeling. There is a term that is tied to the changeling, which is called fairy struck. And that is when a person is unable to move their limbs. So like a child would be unable to move its little arms and legs, meaning that it was fairy struck. Which is also how they could generally switch people out. They were also known to take children when they were left alone, being unwatched, even if you stepped out for 5 minutes.
Your kid's gone.
Yeah. This isn't just in mythology and in folklore. A lot of people, especially in the Celtic persuasion, believe this to be actual truth, such as the case of Bridget Clary. I want to make sure I was pronouncing that right, because it's spelled Cleary, but it's pronounced Clary. Bridget Clary was born in 1869 in County Tipperary, Ireland. She married Michael Clary in 1887, and she was a dressmaker. In March 1895, she wasn't feeling well for a while, and then people noticed that she wasn't anywhere. She just disappeared.
Oh, she gone.
Her body was found in a shallow grave on March 22nd, 1895, and she was found to have been burned to death.
Oh.
It was later found out that on March 15th, 1895, her husband, along with family members, believed her to be a changeling and threw lamp oil on her nightgown and burned her to death because they believed her to be a fairy or a witch.
Oh, my God.
And Bridget Clary is actually known as the last witch burned in Ireland. There's actually an Irish nursery rhyme circa 1895 saying, "Are you a witch or are you a fairy? Are you the wife of Michael Clary?"
Oh, shit.
I mean, it sounds okay. Dark, but when you think of nursery rhymes, one of ours is literally about, like, the Black Plague.
Yeah, it's true.
So I guess death is something kids just sing about. And in case you're curious, her husband served 15 years for her murder and then moved to Canada. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and he was the only one. So like the other family members who believed that she was a witch or that she was a fairy weren't charged at all.
Oh, okay. So everybody moves to Canada when something happens, right?
Yep.
That's what I'm getting.
They were like,
from
you
this.
Know what? Just not really feeling this. It's going to move somewhere else.
Canada.
And that's from Ireland.
Yeah.
He moved from Ireland to Canada.
Yeah, it's not just going up north like.
No, it's not just like, I'm going to cross the border. Like... I'm going to cross a couple oceans.
Yeah.
So back to the changeling, in case you're curious as to what the quote, ugly, stupid, or strange child is. The appearance is inhuman traits, such as extra toes. Voracious appetites, which obviously Supernatural got right because the kids were always hungry. Unnatural knowledge, mostly of the fairy world. Imp-like traits. Ugly, deformed, shriveled, or old-looking. Because sometimes they weren't children, they were just really old fairies.
Old-looking.
Yeah. To save your child and to ward off changelings, things such as a holy crucifix or iron tongs are placed across the cradle, which can terrify a changeling. To
that
have
can terrify a child, too, by the way. Just throwing it out there.
Right? Other things to have the same effect are an article of the father's clothing, because I guess they're like, oh, dad's jacket can't change the child.
Okay.
Glad it wasn't a crucifix. Was real nervous about it. Nordic belief took the idea of the changeling, but it wasn't a fairy, it actually was a troll, and it was the idea that trolls would change the children, and most Scandinavian folklore creatures are afraid of iron, so instead of just the crucifix or the iron tongs, they believe that these trolls were always afraid of iron, so placing scissors or a knife could protect the child, I guess as long as the kid doesn't knock it over.
I was gonna say, that's not a good idea.
Or a hymn book, which seems safer, works.
How thick is the book?
Or just baptizing your child.
That would probably
that
be the easiest
like
thing to do.
Easiest one. I guess if you wanted to knock all three, like, you baptize your child and, like, then make them sleep on a hymn book and then just, like, make sure you have, like, an iron cradle. I don't know. The most Game of Thrones child in the world. If a child were still taken, even though these precautions were taken... then the parents could force a return by treating the changeling cruelly by means of whipping, beating, or threatening, or simply placing it in a heated oven.
I'm sorry.
Like, you know what? This ugly child is definitely not my beautiful child. Throw it in the oven. Hansel and Gretel style.
I was going to say, how do you Hansel and Gretel something? Like,
speaking of Hansel and Gretel, both Martin Luther and the Brothers Grimm have written about changelings.
Oh, okay.
William of Averney, who was the Bishop of Paris from 1228 to 1249, said changelings were children of incubi demons, male demons. Quote, they say they are skinny and are always wailing. And such milk drinkers that four nursemaids do not supply sufficient enough milk to feed one.
Holy these crap. Appear,
all right. These appear to have remained with their nurses for many years, and afterwards to have flown away or rather vanished.
Just get up and fly away one day.
The poet W.B. Yeats. Who was an Irish poet, actually wrote a poem about changelings in his 1889 poem, The Stolen Child. And I will use my best poetry reading voice. Come away, O human child, to the waters and the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. Thank you. Thank you. When a changeling is switched with a child, it is no longer called a child and usually referred to as it and never given a name.
Okay.
When a changeling is found out, such as obviously throwing it in an oven, or just threatening it, or beating it.
Whipping it, yeah.
The child will disappear up the chimney.
Oh, reverse Santa.
Be reclaimed by the fairy mother. Sorry. So I guess fairy mother's like, no, don't fucking throw my child in the oven. Ah, I take it.
Oh, so the fairy mother will come back for it. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. She doesn't care how you're treating it, but like if you threaten to like put it on a spade and throw it in the oven, the mom's like, oh, fuck no, you can't do that.
That just crossed the line right there.
Yeah.
And only sometimes, not all the time, the original child is returned.
Oh, so not
so sometimes like fairy mother will come running in and be like, no, don't kill my kid. I need it back, even though it's ugly and deformed. Here's your beautiful, gorgeous child. Okay, see you later. Pretend like this never happened.
Okay, bye.
Changelings do not live long. They actually can shrivel up and die in 2 to 3 years.
Oh.
If the grave of a changeling is disturbed, so I guess if you're suspicious that your child was a changeling because it didn't live longer than 3 years, it died because of something that, you know, wasn't just like a disease. If you were to dig up, if you dig up the grave of a changeling, a blackened twig or a piece of bog oak will be there where the infant's body should be. Oh. I guess that's because like, you dig it up and you're like, oh, there's bogwood. Knew it. We had a changeling.
Hey, there's a twig. It wasn't really Timmy.
And then most disturbingly, I couldn't find too much information, so I don't know if this is an old wives' tale or not, because I couldn't find any actual like articles. But supposedly, March 1863 in New York, there was a woman by the name of Mary Nell who performed a test to find out if her child, who she was suspicious of being a changeling, to prove it was a changeling, performed. So she actually heated up the blade of a shovel. And then I guess the test is that you heat up the blade or spade of a shovel, have the child sit on it, and if it were a changeling, it would fly away.
Seriously?
Like, what do you so think this woman, Mary Nell, was suspicious that her child was a changeling because for some reason she was like, this is not my kid. Took her 3-year-old child and had it sit on a heated up blade of a shovel. The burns were so severe that the child died a week later. And her husband had no idea. He was not in the house when this test took place.
Honestly, what did...
You also, at that point in time, like, your kid died because of severe. You're like, oh, at least it's not a changeling, I guess.
But you killed it.
Yeah, like, also, you let, like... I don't think anywhere that tells you that, like, you have it sit on for, like, 3 seconds, 10 seconds...
You sit on it for half a second and your ass is going
to
be burnt.
Like, it was on there long enough for severe burns to literally kill it.
That, I can't. It's just crazy people.
And most people believe that changelings happened because there was no way that their child could be born deformed. So they're trying to find excuses on why their child had the lazy eye or six toes. And which is why, I guess, this whole idea of doing these tests on kids and kids dying in infancy. But I guess in Ireland, it was common to exchange an elderly dying fairy with a baby. The just other nice idea on why a fairy would steal a human child is that they believed a fairy infant needed mortal food to thrive.
But why?
Doesn't really say. There is another Celtic thing with the Scots, however, that is slightly different than the Irish belief with changelings, and that's that the fairies had actually done a deal with the devil.
Oh, snap.
And in that deal with the devil, every 7 years, they owed him a tithe. A blood sacrifice.
Okay.
And obviously, fairies' high self-regard prevented them from killing one of their own, so they would abduct a child in order to pay their blood dues. There's another idea that fairies were no longer like high in numbers, so crossbreeding could have been a motive for swipping or kidnapping.
Having human fairy babies.
A fairy would take humans and inject fresh blood into their clans.
Oh.
And then obviously, if you thought you had a changeling, it would eat constantly, have strange features, be aloof, cry constantly, misbehave, be unable to talk, communicate. And there are some beliefs that believe that fairies don't actually leave a replacement at all. Like, they don't throw one of their elderly fairies in there, or they don't toss an infant fairy to replace the child. They actually enchant a block of wood or a lump of wax to look like the missing child.
So then you get your twig in the casket.
Yep, that's one of the ideas. And sometimes the enchantment isn't strong enough that the enchantment will wear off and the child will, quote, die, revealing its real appearance.
So you're just left with a lump of wax.
Which is also why some people believe that they're unable to talk because they're not actually a child.
I get it.
There was a story. I know I'm full of stories this time instead of like actually. But a lot of this, because it's not proven anywhere, is all generally mythology and folklore, especially like with the Irish. And
are you really going to find any actual things on?
I mean, besides the woman who killed her baby.
Yeah.
That
lady.
Or the husband who killed his wife.
Yeah.
There's actually the story of a Welsh widow woman who actually the fairies tricked her into thinking that her cattle were actually being attacked. So the woman left her child when the fairies went to go snatch the lovely young son and left a changeling in its place. And she actually got the help from a local wise man and was able to get her child back. But fairies have a tendency to prey on parents who are alone or widows with babies because they can do stuff like that where they can distract and then take. And obviously it's usually not just one, it's a group of them that they're like, instead of, you know, like the kids these days, let's just go do a B&E. The fairies are just like, let's go do a changeling switch. You in Todd? And Todd's like, sure, why not? I got nothing else to do tonight.
Is that what the kids do these days? A B&E?
I don't know. Instead of like going to the movies, I don't know.
Instead of going to the movies, let's just do a break and enter. I mean, why not?
And like I said, it is difficult, but sometimes if you catch it and you have them reveal yourself, you can actually get your child back, like that woman who used a local wise man. However, sometimes if you do get your child back, they can be irrevocably changed. The Irish believe that once the child is in the fairyland being taken care of by a fairy family, they will always long for the fairyland.
Oh.
They won't always feel like they're home.
Yeah.
Or they'll feel like something's missing. Meanwhile, the Japanese actually believe that the child must be returned before they ate fairy food. And if they ate fairy food, then at that point, the child was not coming back. The exchange was final.
Oh.
And there is actually two other stories before I wrap up.
Bring it on.
So sadly, most of these are about like child death.
Thanks, Liz.
I'm sorry. I'm the worst. There was one case in Kerry, Ireland, in 1884, so not too far off from the Bridget Clary case, with a woman named Anne Roche, who actually drowned her three-year-old, drowned 3-year-old Michael Leahy, who could not stand or speak, who she believed to be a changeling. And then there is one legend that I will leave with, which is the legend of the widow of Leon Fufabon.
Save the best for last.
Yes. Leon Fufabon, where a wise man instructs her to perform several unusual tasks, such as cooking a fully feathered chicken and brewing beer in an eggshell, which I feel like is extremely difficult. But also, like, is it a half an eggshell? Is it like you drilled a hole? And then I have questions.
Don't you think that the feathers would catch on fire of the feathered chicken?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's why, like, they're unusual tasks?
Slightly, yeah.
So performing actions like that, so the unusual tasks,
like those,
would cause the changeling to forget himself and pass a remark about never having seen anything like it, despite being as old as the hills. Once being realized that it has been tricked, the changeling would disappear and the human child would return.
Would fly away.
Up the chimney.
I just pictured the Lorax. Like it would grab on its butt and it would just fly to the sky.
And that is the legend and folklore of the changeling. So like I said, Supernatural like took the idea of switching children with like one weird thing, but obviously keeping them the same and changing it up a lot, like keeping the idea that they're always hungry, but other than that it's very different.
Yeah,
but that's all I got for you.
I
Dean
like it.
Ben's dad,
just so Ben's dad. Dean is so Ben's dad.
I'm just in the middle of everything. I'm just gonna be like, yeah, and then I did this and Dean is Ben's dad. And then I drank tea, so hope you have a good day.
Found the title of the episode, Dean is Ben's dad. I mean,
ate a cheeseburger, had a couple of beers, Dean's Ben's dad, and changelings.
Oh, yeah, throw that in there, too. And by the way, Dean's Ben's dad. So.
So next time, we'll be talking about season 3, episode 3. Dean will still be Dead Ben's dad. And we'll be talking about Bad Day at Black Rock.
Bad Day at Black Rock. Do I remember?
Bad Day at Black Rock. You should, because we get to meet another classic as she makes an appearance in season 3.
Is it who I think it is?
I'll give you a hint. She's also in The Walking Dead.
That doesn't help me.
I just had to tie it in because I cosplayed Andrea, so I'll give you a hint. It starts with a B and it rhymes with Della.
Oh, she's in The Walking Dead.
Yes, she plays Maggie.
She's also in the next episode already. Wow. I am all off on these.
Yep, she makes her very first appearance in Bad Day at Black Rock because, contrary to its namesake, which would make you think that it's a prison, right?
Yeah.
This is the bunny foot.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
I didn't realize it was this early in the series.
I didn't either, but for some reason I kept thinking Bella was earlier. And then she kind of fell off, and I forgot that we have literally, Ruby Bella.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot
about
that. So,
awesome chick, and then we have, a series of just, really shitty chicks.
You'll have
And, that. But yes, so we went from a real serious season finale, to, a decent season opener, to just a fucking funny episode. Which is the very first Vine I ever made.
Oh, really?
I lost my shoe. Yeah. Oh, wait, is that this episode? Or is that the Chinese one?
I don't remember now.
Let's see. Oh, yep, nope, it's this one.
I lost my shoes in this one?
I lost my shoe in this one.
I can't wait to watch it then.
Oh my fuck. It's my favorite part. What's the matter? He lost his shoe in a sewer. Oh, okay. Yeah, so we have that to look forward to. So I suggest anyone who's going to listen, watch the next episode, Bad Day at Black Rock. And if you didn't watch this episode to find out why Dean is Ben's dad, you should go back and watch season 3, episode 2.
Oh, my God.
And then tell us what you think Dean's first car is.
And do you think it would be Ben's first car because Dean is Ben's dad?
Yeah. Do you think Ben would inherit the Impala? Okay.
I think he would.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. Do you got anything else before we say goodbye?
Nope, that's all I can think of right now.
Oh, awesome. All right. Well, guys, continuously. continue to listen to us, share us, tweet at us at Twitter at
SPM Balls Pod.
Are we SPM Balls Pod?
Yes. We're SPM Balls Pod everywhere now, I believe.
Yes. Obviously, Instagram at SPM Balls Pod, Facebook, and if you want to slide into our DMs, you can find us and listen to us on anywhere you listen to your podcasts, such as iTunes, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean,
Google.
You name it. All right, guys.
And
well,
I might put this up on our YouTube page. You never
know. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God. Crazy things happened today. Richard Spade Jr. said my name, Dean's Ben's dad, and who knows what else is going to happen.
It's amazing.
So good. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for listening to us. Join us next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.